Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am on Davis and joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Any plans for the weekend?
My lady partner is... she's working, So I'm just going to play Red Dead Redemption by myself. I was planning on having it finished by now, but it's a big game. I'm only 25% of the way through the story.
Oh.
That's not even all the extra bits that I keep getting wrapped up in. I found out today that there's the Shire. There's like a little Hobbit Shire house somewhere in the map. I want to go and find that now. It's a very good game. But yeah, I was hoping to have it finished so I could play Pokemon by now. But I can't. I'm only allowing myself one game at a time at the moment. But then I've got my good friend's birthday on Saturday, so we're going to go around there and play Smash Brothers.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. That is a way to spend
the
evening.
Not the new one.
Obviously, it's not out yet, mate. Sounds good.
What about you?
DIY? Got some DIY on the Saturday.
Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
I'm hosting the second ever Friendsgiving on Sunday, so my friends are coming over and we're hosting like a fake Thanksgiving meal. It's basically just an excuse for us to all get round and have a meal together, but we're hosting.
Do you do anything with friends? Like, are there any friends-related gimmicks? Do you have to wear the turkey on your head? Is the holiday armadillo there?
No, when we say Friendsgiving, it's just that we are friends, and we are we're having a dinner party with, like Thanksgiving-style sweet potato mash and mac and cheese and things like that.
I think it's a nice sentiment, but the name Friendsgiving does sound like something the softies would do in the Beano, and then Dennis would ruin it for them.
Yeah,
and that would be cool.
Put hot sauce into everyone's food, and they go, "Oh, it's too hot now. Can't eat it,
Walter."
We did get this email in. They have asked to remain anonymous, but I did think I would bring it to your attention. They just say, bit too much negative Nancy action, which is making it hard to listen to. First time I have felt this way after over a year of continuously listening to the podcast. By the way, the live show was great. Thanks.
A live member.
Yes. And yeah, we had a tweet through from someone else who just said that we were being too negative. And all the comments that were left on the video were like, you guys are just being crybabies this week. And just you just got to enjoy these shows. So I thought I'd get your thoughts on this.
Your
negative Nancy.
I haven't seen those comments. I don't think all those comments are that.
Not every comment are, no.
I mean, these are our opinions, and I sincerely believe this has been a terrible week of WWE. Like, what? Absolutely awful.
It's been bad. It's been bad.
I mean, but it's not like we've condemned everything. I like the Ronda Rousey stuff. I like the Daniel Bryan stuff. I mean, like, we were intrigued by SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But what Raw did is it just dashed all my hopes for the next 3 months.
It really did.
Yeah, so, well, until next month and a half at least. So I apologize. No. It's like that old customer service thing where you never apologize for your actions. You go, I apologize you feel that way.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say sorry or change my thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we're one of the more positive wrestling review shows out there. Because we try and find the positive in most things, but you can't when it's a week like this.
Yeah, I very much subscribe to the idea of just like if something is bad, you should say it's bad. You can't just go well, it's, but there's also good. Like, you, like if something is bad, you just got to say, this is a bad show. And that's what our job is to do.
Mm.
So if that comes across as too negative, then surely the other way of that is it's too positive, and we're just overly just saying everything is great all the time.
That
doesn't sound like that's good either.
Yeah, I do take umbrage with the just enjoy it for what it is, because it's bad it's bad television right now, and that's not the point. Like, that's not what we are. Like, we're not going to enjoy it. We're not just going to switch off, and that would be a terrible show for you to watch of us reviewing it. And the whole point of this show is to break down stuff from character. Like, we don't know about the in-ring style of wrestling. That's like, if you listen to Wrestling Observer Radio, they are always on, like, this didn't look slick, this didn't. And that, because that's their, they're very good at that. Brian Alvarez is a wrestler. Like, he can tell when things are going wrong like that. But we're story and character guys. And it's just been shocking.
It's been a very bad week. On to more positive things. Callum Rever has sent in a WrestleTalk Get Better. Now, you may recall, Callum Rever was a guy whose email got lost in the Gmail shuffle. It got erroneously filed away under crap gimmicks.
Controversial.
But anyway, he writes, "Hi, Luke and Ollie. A few months ago, I gave up on the thought of you reading out my email. And then the other day, after an awful week at work, I heard my email. Yes. I would be more angry at Gmail if it wasn't for the fact that you reading my email made my week. Since that email was in July, I thought I would give you a 4 month later update. So here we go. Firstly, I have maintained my weight, but my fitness is incredibly better. For example, last week I played football for an hour and then went straight to the gym for another hour.
Whoa.
Not bad for a guy who was technically obese in January. I now have a personal trainer teaching me CrossFit, a friend challenging me to weekly workout challenges, and a healthier outlook on life. Secondly, in January, I will be going to wrestling school at NGW in Hull.
Hey.
I went originally last January for 4 sessions. In that time, I had a good time with the people there, but my fitness was awful and I ended up just injuring myself and others. Due to me realizing this and some family issues, I left and set a target to return in the year better than ever. I will have more wrestling school updates for you in the new year, and I want to give you a full account of my journey. I owe my transformation renewed life goals to yourself and Simon Miller. Without you three, I wouldn't be in this shape or excited to get better. It was in the time since July when you misplaced my email, I've met Jack the Jobber, see the attached email, and was a guest on Simon Miller's podcast, episode 101, in which I spend way too much time praising yourselves. So all I need to do is meet yourselves and I will be set. But finally, as an apology for the long email, here is a terrible, terrible Rusev hey. Kind of. When I first went to the NGW school, I met Matt Myers. I only saw a couple of videos of him online at the time and accidentally said, hey, I've seen you before. You're Mike Myers.
Oh, no.
He laughed it off, telling me a few days previous a ring announcer had called him that too, and that he had nothing but, and after that he was nothing but good to me and extremely supportive. It's not a good story, but it's an embarrassing one for me. Anyway, thanks for reading the email. And there is a picture of Callum with Jack the Jobber.
He's got a stupid face, hasn't he? Not Callum, Jack the Jobber.
Obviously.
Jack the Jobber's got a stupid face. I think of, you know, those three people, WrestleTalk Get Better, and you got yourself in shape. I feel like Simon's got us beat there.
Oh, 100% he's got us beat there.
Like,
good
he's
Lord.
He's like a human muscle.
He is he is an actual tank.
He's a giant neck.
Would you like to do a quick little sing-song before we get into the show?
A sing-song?
Well, yes. Yeah, so Harry Iverson has sent in a WrestleTalk theme song, but it's set to the tune of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay, I'll give it a go. My throat isn't too great, but we can
yes. We
can give it a go.
So, ho, who has a great channel, but not on TV.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the first bit. Are you ready, crew? I can hear you.
Ho, who has a great channel but not on TV?
Luke and Ollie.
With lots of cool content for all to see.
Luke and Ollie.
Like fantasy booking and other great
Luke and Ollie.
So come on and join WTTV.
Luke and Ollie.
Luke and Ollie. It's WrestleTalk TV. There you go. So we're going to...
Oh, I thought you were just going to go straight into the show from there.
No, I thought I'd have an awkward pause. Ah. That's where comedy lies. We're going to jump into the show now, talking about the very exciting All Elite Wrestling, which could be coming next year with those elite lot. Anyway, here's the
show.
There's
some positivity for you. So what's happened is about 3 weeks ago, SE Scoops said Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, Barry Bloom, who is this big wrestling agent, sort of a big behind-the-scenes force of wrestling. Goldberg is his client. Chris Jericho is his client. A lot of the guys with good contracts are with this guy.
Yeah.
And the SE Scoops reported them, along with the B&V Elite crew, so Cody, the Young Bucks, and, crucially, a money guy in Tony Khan, who runs the Jacksonville Jaguars, or Jaguars.
Jaguars,
depending
please.
On your pronunciation. He's going to be the money guy. His dad is one. He's in like the top 300 richest people in the world. Very enormously wealthy family.
He's one place behind you, right?
Yeah. Three places. And that they said all of these forces are coming together. They're negotiating with Access, who are the channel that currently broadcasts New Japan. And the timeline is late 2019, so a long way off, or early 2020. They are going to launch a promotion off the back of All In, and it would hopefully rival WWE.
Yes, and this kind of ties into the stories that's been going around for the last sort of few months or so now of people like of the Elite, like Cody, the Young Bucks, and those sorts of people finishing up their date with Ring of Honor, finishing up their date with New Japan, and despite being offered new contracts, turning them down. In fact, the story we did yesterday on the, I think it was on the Mecha News, is the only regular on being the Elite that has re-signed is Flip Gordon. Everyone else, including like Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels, have not re-signed. And there's a big sort of, almost like a mass exodus of Ring of Honor, and you know, as well as the Elite. So it kind of ties into all of these stories together of these guys not signing with other people off the back of All In success earlier this year. And it was Jericho and Jim Ross, I think, it was on the Jericho Cruise, were just like, all it's going to take is for another company with a billionaire behind it, and that's what's going to rival WWE. And I mentioned this in the news as well, and a lot of people sort of, I don't want to say took umbrage with it. They didn't take Dolores umbrage with it, but they were just like, well, he's full of S anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I think Big Daddy Dave Meltzer, he knows so much more than he's letting on. Because he keeps saying in his newsletters, look, there's a big story next year. Clearly, he uses those words. Clearly, this is building to a big story next year. And I'm like, Dave already knows what the story is.
Well, it's already a big story in that this being the Elite crew of some of the most important wrestlers in the world right now. You know, Kenny Omega is amongst these names, this little real-life faction.
Current IWGP heavyweight champion, Kenny Omega.
The top guy, the ace.
The guy they've been building.
Until January 4th of New Japan.
They've been building the company around. God, are we going to get another Wrestle Kingdom? Where, you remember Wrestle Kingdom a couple of years ago? They were like, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Gallows and Anderson are all leaving. Sorry, see you later.
Yeah, from all leaving to all in. I think, I don't know, if this project is going to get off the ground in late 2019... I can't see all these... That's what's weird to me. Like, it is interesting that you've got the being the Elite guys and the affiliated guys, like Daniels and Kazarian. And usually those stories would say, well, that's because they're going to NXT. It's about time. Christopher Daniels. I can think of few better people who would be so well-suited to teaching people how to wrestle. God, he's such a good wrestler. He's solid.
He's been doing this for like four decades. Yeah. Like, he is a man who knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
But there's not those reports. It's not like they're going to this. It's just they're not re-signing with Ring of Honor. And you're like, well, where else can you go? Of course, you could go back to Impact, but that's, you know, on the upsurge at the moment. But who knows where their TV future is going to be next year. So I guess the idea is they are going to do this AEW All Elite Wrestling thing, but if that's in late 2019, they're not going to sit around for a year. So I hope that this AEW promotion, when it's formed, does allow its wrestlers a lot more flexibility, where you can go work for Ring of Honor, or maybe not Ring of Honor, because that's quite a...
Yeah.
That will be a sort of competition right there on your home turf.
Or do you spend the 2019... building the brand. So you don't so you maybe launch the TV show later in the year, if that's the deal you're looking for, but you spend 2019 doing house shows, doing shows around the world, or doing them wherever you can, and getting the name All Elite Wrestling out there. Because then when they go into pitching to these TV executives, they can say, these are the numbers that we're getting at house shows, this is the sort of merchandise we're selling, this is this and this is that. Provide them numbers, graphs, statistics. Tape TV, like tape episodes to show to networks. That's what networks want to see. Networks want to see, what does this look like? So you can show them a complete product and say, here it is, buy this product.
I mean, they already have a proof of concept with the All-In pay-per-view. So you could easily go, like, we've done this. It did phenomenally well for...
But that's a pay-per-view. Like, when it's like a
I get
TV
what you're
format.
Saying, and I don't disagree with... But they've already got, like, something to show.
Mm-hmm.
And I really genuinely believe there's this huge... It's like everywhere is full of flammable gas. And you just need a light. And then all of this, like, sort of more adult-orientated wrestling fandom can be funneled into it. Because WWE isn't, more this week than ever, is not giving us what we want as, you know, intelligent people. And that's everyone. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just so insulting in WWE programming. But to the model of doing a few pay-per-views, which is kind of how a lot of companies begin. You run these big one-off shows every couple of months, then you build to more regular shows, then you know, heaven forbid, you get picked up by a network, you do weekly shows.
Yes.
That's usually the sort of life trajectory of a company. And I'm looking at the trademarks here. So we had this SE Scoop story 3 weeks ago, and the big development this week is now AEW have filed for trademarks. And the same registered address is that of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is owned by Tony Khan with all the money. So
yeah,
that's a connection right there. AEW, Double or Nothing,
mm-hmm.
That's the rumoured name for All In 2. So that could be their next event.
Yeah, could be.
Around, like, you know, May time. That's what Cody said in the promo after the show. You know, maybe we go Double or Nothing next time. So that's rumoured. And then you've got AEW, of course, that's the name of the promotion. All Elite Wrestling, Double or Nothing normally. Tuesday Night Dynamite, which to me
sounds like a TV show.
That's a TV show. A great name for a TV show.
And if it depends, well, I suppose when it launches, I could say it was going to go against SmackDown, but SmackDown's moving to Friday nights come the end of the year anyway.
Yeah. Apologies for any drilling you can hear in the background as well.
Sorry about that.
Tuesday Night Dynamite. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, but AEW Dynamite.
The other thing that's in there is AEW All Out.
Yeah, sounds like another show.
Exactly.
Like another pay-per-view show.
Another pay-per-view. And I think that's a nice trilogy. All In, Double or Nothing, All Out.
Yeah.
And then you're all out into AEW, this new promotion.
And if you've got this billionaire who really believes in this concept and believes that this can work, like, money people are smart. That's why they've got the money. They don't mind losing money on the first few shows.
Mm.
Be like, well, tell you what, if we spend 2019 putting on these shows, it doesn't matter if we don't make our money back, because you've got to invest to accumulate, essentially.
You've got to spend money to make money.
There you go. It's the easier way to do it. You speculate to accumulate.
So it's already got a pretty decent looking roster. You've effectively got the all-in card, San Rey Mysterio, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we're thinking, so this was a WrestleTalk.com exclusive. According to these guys' sources and WrestleTalk sources, not our sources really, WrestleTalk, the larger WrestleTalk sources,
mm-hmm.
at least two WWE stars currently contracted have been approached by the AEW group and have agreed to the proposition in principle, and they're going to leave WWE in April at the latest.
Because that's probably when their contracts are up. So they essentially, that's what we've heard, is that two guys are going to go.
We don't know who they are.
Yeah,
so we can't even tell you that.
So that already, it kind of puts the cat amongst the pigeons. And that, for me, is really what kind of, like, that kickstarted this story into a new gear for me. Because previously it's just like, hey, bunch of lads opening up a wrestling organization. Yeah, that's all grand and one thing. Like, that, you know, that seems like that's a grand prospect. It's more wrestling. More wrestling is always great. But then when you start to hear things like billionaires are involved, billionaires who believe in the concept, when you start hearing that they've registered TV trademarks and they're trying to do deals with TV networks, that's a big thing. When you start hearing the stories that guys from the biggest company in the world are looking to leave and jump across, that's when I start thinking, that's Monday Night War territory. You know what I mean? Like, that was what WCW, that was what kickstarted them. It was when Hogan went across. It was when Savage went across.
Luger.
It was when Luger went across on the first episode of Nitro. All of a sudden, then you got Hall and Nash, they all went across. And it was when people started leaving one company for the other, that's when you start thinking, like, and it's not, it contrary to, like, TNA. TNA were picking up people that had been fired. Like, Kurt Angle was released. Christian was released. Rhino was released. And TNA picked them up and gave them a place to work. This is different. This is wrestlers actively choosing to leave the biggest wrestling company in the world and go across to this other promotion that could be a viable competitor to WWE.
So maybe same amount of money, thereabouts, but hopefully reduced workload in terms of touring dates and, critically, for a lot of these guys, I think, just being proud of your work and putting your body on the line every night
and creative
for
freedom.
Something that's worth it.
Yeah. And being able to kind of like flesh out your characters amongst with like other wrestlers. Because, you know, we've been talking about previously on here, Cody wanted to do like a wrestling union and things like that. Maybe some of these boys want to go across to get involved in that side of things. Because a lot of the guys in WWE, and I say a lot of them, pretty much every guy in WWE is almost like they're creatively stifled. They're not allowed any real say in what they do on TV. They are told what to do on TV.
You just turn up.
You turn up and do your job. And you can tell that some of the guys, you can tell like there's just this blank expression on their face. And it's like, we are just here to work and that is fine. I get my paycheck at the end of the month and that is all grand. So, yeah, maybe it could almost be like that spark of someone being like, no, I don't want to just show up to work. I want to show why people loved me in the first place.
Yeah.
And then go out into the bigger world.
So every NXT call-up for the last 4 years, I think.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, pretty much, yes.
Just before we carry on with who we think should go, you know, like properly leave WWE, just because I think they'd be more suited to this kind of product that AEW are potentially offering. Chris Jericho and Jim Ross, Pro Wrestling Sheet have said, actually, while all the other things seem to be correct, Jericho and Jim Ross aren't actually backstage masterminds. They are just talent who would likely work with the promotion if it happened.
Okay.
And it's still all of this is still a 50-50 thing.
Yes.
Because it all depends on them getting a good TV deal.
That's exactly it, yeah. I think it's... furthermore, our sources note that although the trademarks have been registered, the confirmation of the deal relies on the proposed promotion getting a financially worthwhile television or streaming deal and should only be considered 50-50 at this stage.
Yeah. So I've got up my favourite page here, just a WWE roster page. I'm on this so much.
Well, that's because it's Fantasy Booking Warfare. Like, all the...
Who can I use in this?
That's the first step of Fantasy Booking Warfare, is to go to the list of WWE personnel page on Wikipedia.
I mean, so first up, so this is going to be mostly alphabetical order by brand, by the nature of this. Bobby Roode.
I mean...
It wouldn't be my first pick.
No, it wouldn't be my first pick either, but like...
And he wouldn't have the Glorious song, so maybe not. Bray Wyatt.
Well, he hasn't been around. Like, I've been getting lots of people commenting, like, where's Bray Wyatt? And I'm like, well, I guess he's rehabbing character. That's what the story's always been, is that they're working on a new character direction for him. But that's been, like, months now. Months and months.
I mean, he's got to be frustrated.
Yeah.
He's potentially one. Oh, what's happened there? TV will power off after 1 minute.
Oh, no. Where's the remote?
I'll carry on. The Chad Gable, I think, is possibly like one of my top five picks that who I'd want to leave WWE for this. Dolph Ziggler, we've said it for ages. The guy needs to go to prove what a great wrestler he can be elsewhere. Pretty much everyone from 205 Live?
Yep, I would certainly say so.
Oh, Neville. I mean, not even talking about WWE guys, but Neville's one of the first guys I'm putting in a call for. Finn Balor.
Yeah, Balor's like... And Balor surely has got to be getting to a point now where he's reaching the end of a contract and maybe looking to renegotiate with someone like that. But he is a guy that clearly this company has zero interest in. He is a body on Raw. That's all he is. I mean, it's a very nice body. But he is literally just there. You are there to fill space on a roster. We have a format sheet which has blank holes in it, and you are there to fill in those holes. Because has Balor had a real storyline since he came back from his surgery?
Like, well, when he... Bray Wyatt. But never paid off because of... meningitis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really...
But look what it would have paid off in.
He really has become the sixth guy you add to a tag team match on the babyface side.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, when they were looking to fill out the Raw Survivor Series team, everyone was like, I mean, I guess Finn Balor's there. You could just put him on there. Like, Finn Balor as a wrestler, Prince Devitt, is not a guy you should be like, I suppose you could put him there. Absolutely not. That's a madness.
So you mentioned something about contracts there. I don't know Balor's contract situation, but we are aware of that sort of New Japan contingent who came over to WWE at the start of 2016. Yes. January 2016. So I'm talking Nakamura, Styles,
Gallows
and Anderson. And that's all, apparently their contracts expired January, February, roughly, 2019, which is like the perfect time for this. We already know from reports from PW Insider that AJ Styles is renegotiating his contract with WWE. If I'm him, I'm looking over at this and going, well, I wasn't thinking about leaving WWE, but hey, I've only got a couple of years left. I'm a 42-year-old man. I'm going to play these sides off of each other, try and get more money.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, maybe he doesn't want to go across to All Elite Wrestling, but he could just be like, hey, I've got this big money offer over there. You need to give me something more for me to stick around here. And if you want to start getting out the tinfoil hat, he did just lose the WWE Championship out of nowhere. Like, I mean, it's tinfoil hat level, but it's always there, isn't it? One in a billion is always right. That's what you said the other day.
It's Gallows and Anderson have got to leave. Like, there's no question about that.
What are they doing?
There's no, and that, like, they seem like they love wrestling.
Yeah, totally. Of course they do.
And I've read that Carl Anderson might not want to go back to New Japan because he's relocated his family. That's a lot more difficult to move around. But if this is a US promotion, I just, and really sort of heading up my little class of picks, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
God, you know what
El Generico and Kevin Steen.
Because they haven't been around for a while, I didn't even think about them as names. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, talk about a brilliant time to have a character resurgence for them, of just being like the frustration that fans have had with Owens and Zayn on the main roster. And Kevin Owens is a guy that has been given many, many pushes up on the main roster. You can't say that WWE have squandered Kevin Owens on the main roster, because he was Universal Champion. He's had feuds with top guys since he has come up. He beat John Cena on his first night on the main roster, on his first pay-per-view appearance. So you can't say they squandered him, but at the same time, have they used him to his full potential? Have they really got the best out of Kevin Owens? I really soured on him in the summer, not through any fault of his own, but because that Braun Strowman feud was so bad.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was like, I think I'm done with Owens now. And then he had that storyline, it was while I was on my honeymoon, where he came in and he quit, and then he just returned to TV the following week, and they never played up on it, and they never mentioned it ever again.
It's infuriating. And they're like, you know, I watched Steen and Generico. Well, Generico's not involved in this. I watched Steen at least come up through Ring of Honor. Well,
Generico had to go back to his orphanage.
Chris Generico.
How has that not been a gimmick for Jericho?
I know, yeah, just that's essentially what he is. Just impersonating various luchadors. but I watched him come up and he's so creative. And his promos are so good and he's wrestling. Like, if you think his WWE matches are good, he's only doing about 50% of all these spots that he does.
Yeah.
Like, that first match against John Cena when he came up, and he was like, how many moves has this guy got? He's got more.
Yeah, they're all really good, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so Owens, Zayn, Gable, Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah.
I don't...
Joe?
AJ, I wouldn't put Joe in there. Like,
Joe, like, being taken out of the Survivor Series team first... You know, in a few, like a minute or so. And I think that Samoa Joe is a guy that has gone up to the main roster and they really have not. I mean, I suppose you could say that the AJ feud had its moments, but I'm not looking at Samoa Joe and being like, God, you've been used. You're to your full potential.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Joe is the guy I would use. Like, if I'm talking my first five guys, I guess for name value. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting time, but let us know what you would think down in the comments, like who your top five picks to kickstart a new promotion with Cody and the Bucks and Omega and Skrull.
Dream matches sounds all amazing. Over, doesn't it? Just
and apologies for not picking any women.
Yeah,
but Bailey, Sasha Banks.
I mean, good. We could be here for ages. Ember Moon.
Asuka.
Oh, man.
Hey. How about a bit of Kenta? How about a bit of Hideo Itami?
There are so many. Like, the more you think about it, God, WWE has got the greatest roster in the history of any wrestling company in the world. It's oh, man.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Patreon shout-out time. It's that kind of that time of the month. Thank you very much, Juan de Dios Infinite Gauntlet.
Snap. Woo. Stay hyped, Kyle Rowley.
Yeah.
Where's Mojo been?
I wouldn't have him in my list. Although I do like Mojo. There's some guys who just feel WWE, don't they?
You know, if this thing does take off and all these lads we just talked about did this sort of mass exodus, it's time for Mojo to shine. Like, that's what he's waiting for. He's sitting in the wings waiting for all these guys to leave.
By default.
By
the
default.
The sweetest victory.
Oh, the sweetest.
Hey, Cody always said in All In, if he could have any guy from WWE, it'd be Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
It's not a bad shout.
God, who was it recently? They were talking about... We just want Tyler. I think it was Xavier Woods.
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze is a guy. I'd love to have Tyler Breeze over.
Brennan's next top model, Phil Stopford.
Nice meeting you.
We've met him in the flesh now.
Nice meeting you, Phil. Stem cell, Robert Stemman.
Ooh.
Yes, Robert Stemman.
Bobby Stemmers. I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
It's my favourite of the names.
It's a strained pun.
Sean, far from bland, Blanford.
He's so exciting.
I do think Sean asked us for a different nickname. Because he's had this one for so long.
Okay.
But I think he suggested one I can't quite remember. I can't remember if you got in touch with me on Twitter or not, Sean. I do apologise.
The Heartbreak Kid, Sean Blanford. I'm just thinking of famous Sean's now. Shimmy Gang Gut, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
Yes.
Ooh, all the names.
Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Yeah.
Love a cup of tea. Yeah.
The real true heel, Len Bren.
Yes.
Always such a bad guy.
Always think of that lad from Strictly Come Dancing when I hear Len Bren.
Which lad?
The one who was seven. That guy, and he left.
I hate Strictly Come Dancing.
Never seen it.
And anything ballroomy.
And finally, for this edition, the real deal sex appeal, Andy Puckett. Paul,
yes.
Andy Puckett.
$25 a month or more on Patreon if you want the honour of having your names read out by us. What an honour.
If you're thinking to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, it's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the SWAF Nation, submit to us your crap gimmicks that we, the promoters and owners of Crap Gimmick Wrestling, will take under consideration and then possibly sign to the Crap Gimmick Wrestling roster or to our underdevelopmental territory that we haven't quite got a name for yet. If you want to email in your
crap
suggestion...
Gimmick roster.
And email in your suggestion. It's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. Backlog, you know, standard stuff to say. Backlog, we're still in July. This one comes in from Brad Bradshaw, who himself has got a name that sounds like it would be a character submitted to us. Who's big and strikes fear into the hearts of children? It's none other than Big Daddy Herman. Big Daddy Herman is a bald, sweaty, 300-pound Pee Wee Herman knockoff who dresses in a tight grey suit with a little red bow tie. Big Daddy Herman cuts a promo backstage where he's being interviewed, saying he will win the match before his manager, Socky Brow Boa, a sock puppet with a unibrow, tells Herman to be quiet. So obviously, Big Daddy Herman is the man who's operating said sock puppet.
Yes.
Brad doesn't quite specify that, but I picked up on the rest of from what he said, so I inferred that.
Do you think that's what WWE generic interviewers actually are? Realistic puppets.
Oh, mate, I didn't tell you.
With someone operating them.
I haven't told you about this. There's a new Renee Young in NXT.
Yeah, we covered the story. She looks exactly like her in the sign-in photo.
But not only that, when she presents, she is Renee Young. Like, she has got genuine character and charisma.
What?
Like, she was joking. No, she was joking back and forth with Matt Riddle in a backstage interview. Like, doing his catchphrases, and like they were like having a bit of banter back and forth. I was like, when someone sees this, they're going to put the kibosh on this, my friend.
Only the wrestlers are allowed to get over here, and only then to a certain extent.
If we want you to.
Yeah.
So back to Brad. Socky then tells the interviewer before telling Herman to crush their dreams. He enters the arena to Pee Wee's Playhouse theme song, but it's rewritten in a minor key, so it sounds very disturbing. Herman rides a very small plastic car to the ring, one you might buy for a toddler to drive in the yard. During his opponent's entrance, Socky hypes up Herman before Herman gently sets him on the floor outside the ring. Of course, being the giant that he is, Herman mostly uses devastating moves such as rest holds, his favorite being a chin lock, before tickling his opponent and then sitting on them. Like any good manager, Socky comes to Herman's aid as his opponents may slip on him while outside the ring, and every now and again, Herman will put Socky on his arm and pull his opponent's hair. When this happens, the ref has no choice but to eject Socky from ringside, and this will then lead to Herman's finishing move, which is a heavy headbutt to the nuts, which he dubs the secret move the ref doesn't see.
We've already got a sock puppet gimmick. Although I do like the use of the sock puppet as a manager who's interfering on his client's behalf. But the Fabulous Fam, which is one of the early crap gimmicks.
That's of a sock puppet, that's more just a puppet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so.
And they were a tag team.
Yeah, and the idea being that the hot tag was the puppet.
Yes.
Brilliant idea.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I never really watched Pee Wee as a kid, so
we didn't really get him here in the UK.
No, so any nostalgia you were hoping to tap into isn't there for me. I'm a cold dead Pee Wee person inside.
Yeah, if it had been Timmy Mallett, different story.
I still think the concept is lacking a bit. Sorry, Good try, though, Brad.
Let's see if Steve Conway from July 26th can improve your mood. Johnny Elliott is a babyface. He is an energetic, somewhat flamboyant wrestler whose over-the-top garish entrance entire with ridiculous oversized sunglasses. He plays his own entrance music himself on a piano with motorized wheels. Think those motorized carts from WrestleMania 3. But it's a piano. He doesn't actually play the music himself. It's pumping through the building speakers, but it's treated as if he's actually playing it himself on the piano. He is a blatant Elton John tribute character, but Elton John is never brought up or mentioned at all, ever. Johnny Elliott is a 100% authentic as far as he's concerned, and he will constantly drop Elton John references and promos, such as, Saturday night's all right for fighting, or if an interviewer asks how he's feeling, he'll say, can you feel the love tonight? If he's returning from being away from a while, he'll shout, the bitch is back. Or if he's betrayed by a close friend, he'll say, I guess that's why they call it the blues. But again, Elton John is never referenced by name. Ever. He does not exist. Johnny Elliott will also throw his opponents out of the ring near the piano. Johnny will follow, sit at the piano, play a jaunty tune before getting up, grabbing his opponent's hair and slamming their head onto the top of the piano, then sitting back down to continue playing, adding insult to injury. His finisher is a dragon whip kick, one of Shelton Benjamin's old signature moves, which he calls the Circle of Life. After he wins, he goes back to enthusiastically playing his piano as it drives him up the ramp to the backstage.
I like this. You tapped into the Elton John fan in me. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's the subject of the John Lewis Christmas advert this year.
You were asking me about that earlier. I still haven't seen it yet.
Which to US viewers is a rather tired Christmas tradition in the UK now.
Oh, no. Come on. I the excitement the... built around the new advert? No, that's not a tired gimmick yet.
No, I think it's been tired for about 3 years of slightly subpar. They're a victim of their own success. They produce some incredible adverts.
I like the one on the moon.
All right, I thought that's where it went downhill.
Last year was the dog, right?
Huh?
Last year's with the animals.
Yeah, which had no emotional hook to it, whatever.
It's quite cute, though, wasn't it?
Okay, so, but this one here, I like all the stuff. I like the visual of someone playing a piano and coming down to the ring. I think when you slam the opponent's face into the piano, though, I'm guessing it's not a grand piano. It's like a jaunty honky-tonk one. If you put their head in the top and then play the keys and they sell it, that would be good.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. When I was reading that, I was picturing in my head that scene from Who Framed Roger Rabbit where Daffy and Donald Duck are playing the pianos.
Do they smile and the keys are the teeth?
No. That's just an old, that's a cartoon trope. This is just like them just using the pianos essentially as weapons while they're trying to play music.
I like that that Elton John does not exist to this guy as well, which is kind of like the John Morrison gimmick.
Yeah.
Where no one mentioned the fact that John Morrison is a real dude.
Yeah.
What a weird gimmick. That was so weird.
Someone essentially said backstage, like, you look a bit like John Morrison. Has anyone ever told you look like John Morrison?
All the time. Yeah. Slow motion.
Or you look like Jim Morrison, rather. He obviously looks like John Morrison.
Oh,
he
sorry, yeah, John it's Morrison. Jim Morrison who's the
that's
the
how
that's
how
the Doors.
That's how alike they are. So if you're wondering, Steve, I did do a bit of editing on your submission there because he did have a whole paragraph about how all of his moves are based around, a way he put it, sort of like homophobic jokes of just like lots of heads and crotches and stuff like that.
Because Elton John is a famous homosexual.
He is, a flaming one, no less. And finally, Wilco Mourinho is sent in from July 26th. The Loan Shark is a heel who offers to do the dirty work for other members of the crap gimmick roster on the provision that they themselves will help the Loan Shark in future. Or else. This means that he wins most of his matches due to interference and when he attacks other members of the roster doing the dirty work. It is backstage using a weapon, blah, 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 blah. Now, I was like, not really sold on this, but I was sold by this line. As for his appearance, he dresses as a literal shark with a stereotypical mobster outfit on top of that.
Yes.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere.
Sharky.
And George, the crime busters of the sea. He will gloat in his promos using lines such as, "Bask in my glory, and I will snatch victory from the jaws of defeat." And he has two finishers, the jackhammerhead and the sleeper hold, which when he locks in, he shouts, "You're going to be sleeping with the fishes."
Brilliant. So I like the idea anyway, the storytelling aspects you can have of these babyface wrestlers who have gotten really indebted to the Loan Shark and they have to come out and betray their morality by helping the heel Loan Shark win. There's a social justice element to this as well. You know, Loan Sharks and the exploitation of the poor is horrible. And you can have plucky working class underdogs raise up and defeat the Loan Shark. I love this. And it's a guy dressed as a shark.
That was what tipped it over the edge for me. That's
Otherwise, it's good.
Otherwise, it's good. That turns it pure crap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be the Loan Shark, right?
Sign it.
Loan Shark. And if you want to send in a question to the mailbag, the hefty, hefty mailbag we have down here, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave your question in the community section on Patreon. Neil Stewart, this is from last week, asked, "Hey team LOL, sorry, I thought that was funny. Anyway, I recently attended Raw and SmackDown in Manchester and I was surprised to see so many empty seats. Raw had about a quarter empty, whereas SmackDown was half empty. Why do you think, why do you guys think this is the case? And the attendance, would you agree that WrestleMania certainly won't be coming to the UK anytime soon because of these attendance problems? Now, I would say that if WrestleMania was to come to the UK, that would sell out because it's WrestleMania. Whereas, yeah, I don't know, like Raw and SmackDown, they come twice a year. You can go if you want, but I don't know. What do you think?
What? Why attendance is down? Because the product's crap.
Well, there's that, yeah.
There's no draws. Like, people go to shows because of the brand name. Like, oh, I'm going to see Marvel on Ice. I don't know. I'm going to go and watch... A lot of us over here, the NFL put on one or two games a season in London.
I think it's three now.
Three, wow. That's stupid. It's just like, imagine if your local football team were going to do one match in a different country.
Well, that's why
week.
The Americans hate it. Also, yeah. I think it really ruins like the wild card or something.
Yeah, stuff like that. I think it's ridiculous. But when people will go to that, we have no affiliation to the teams, but they're the NFL. And I think that's why people go and watch the WWE. But, I mean, that there's also an argument if the NBA started doing stuff, people would legit go and see for the Steph Currys, for the LeBron Jameses, because they are stars who have transcended their... I mean, I want niche sounds like too small a word for something like the NBA or the NFL, but they have transcended that into the mainstream. Like, people will go and see Lady Gaga because she's a star, not necessarily because they like their music.
I mean, I'd go because she's the best.
So that's an argument here. WWE doesn't have, apart from Brock Lesnar, they haven't created any, or presented rather, any stars that have transcended the mainstream because I think they're scared. They're scared of making another Rock or people who are too big for them to control.
Yeah, and looking at like the images that came from the UK tour, it was quite sad. Like they were talking about this on Gorilla Position.
I don't find it sad at all. I'm like, yeah, this is what you get you mess with the Warrior.
But they did like the SmackDown house show in London. They did it at the same place where Progress held Hello Wembley, and it just looked like half full. And you're like, man, there was a time when you could sell out the O2 on a house show.
Mm.
But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, learn something, WWE. What you're doing isn't working.
Yes. So, hello, Steve has gone. Of course he has. The Dashing Dan asks, so you guys always talk about how Ember Moon has yet to be put in a real story in her first 6 to 7 months on the roster. Good Lord. That is true. I have tried to be open-minded about her, but I really don't get and I don't think she's anything special. Her moveset is decent, her dive's so good, but not great. She's very small, which does take away from her credibility as a physical threat. Her finisher looks awesome, but it's too contrived for my liking, and the entire basis of her character hasn't really been explained yet. I promise I'm not trolling, but I genuinely find Nia and Tamina's new alliance more interesting. As I said, though, I'm open-minded and happy to be wrong about her. What do you think sets her apart from the other women on Raw, or SmackDown for that matter, and where would you like to see her character developments go from here? Thank you for the consistent rambling, guys. I would say, where would I like to see her character developments go? Step one is where I would like to see it go. Like, that would... I mean, what an incredible first step that would be. To do the first step.
Yeah, a character beyond... She's Nia Jax's friend.
Yeah, which has since been dropped. That's never been mentioned again.
And, yeah, God, like, all of that stuff where we're like, they're giving Ember Moon a little push here. She might have this feud with Nia Jax.
I'm not sure we said push. I think we said storyline.
Yeah, it was all a way to get Tamina over... To get Nia over, to get Ronda over. Ember Moon is at the bottom of that pool. I like how the chap who emailed in put contrived in quotes.
Yes, because that is a word that you and I apparently use far too much.
Oh, is that why he's done it? But it is. I mean, I like the total eclipse of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. I don't think it's that contrived. It's not. It's not One Winged Angel.
No, but that is the more contrived
because
move.
Because you could, like...
Or the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, like...
You essentially have to do the move on yourself.
The opponent just has to stand up with their back to you, and you can hit it on them.
Yeah. I first saw the Total Eclipse of the Heart in a nightclub. I was on a friend's stag do, and I wasn't having a very good time because I don't like nightclubs. And I just...
Discotheques.
Yeah, and at one point, it was many floors. It's in Cardiff. I can't remember the name of the place now.
But Oceana.
No, it wasn't Oceana, but it was like, it's apparently a very popular place, and it was packed, so yeah, it was popular. It was by Chippy Alley. But on one of the floors, they were playing the Batman 66 movie. I very nearly just watched that for the evening without the sound because I don't need it. But it was the same night as an NXT TakeOver. It was the one with Nakamura and Joe, and it was Ember Moon's debut. That was the first time I saw it. And I was like, that is such an awesome move. And instantly I was like, this is cool. Like she looks like a bit of a knockoff Mortal Kombat character. As soon as I saw that move, I was like, I'm in. She's wicked.
It took me a while to like Ember Moon.
It really did take me a while.
But I did, you know, I followed her through NXT. I watched the takeovers. And it was, weirdly, it was when she's been misused on the main roster where I was like, you know what? I get her now. Like, she's a really good wrestler. Her character is lacking.
Yes,
yeah, so like,
lacking.
So I understand why you might not have hooked in on that. And it was lacking in NXT. So it's really lacking on the main roster. But work rate-wise and just how... Just her presentation where she can just scream. She gets me fired up, certainly. We're fighting a losing cause if you've only seen main roster stuff. I think, because I've got a catalogue of great matches with Asuka, which I really, like, some of her matches with Asuka were great.
Yeah. And that's the thing, it's like the guy who emailed in asking, like, I don't really get the revival. Mm. If you've only ever seen the revival on the main roster, I can completely see why you'd think these guys are a bunch of chumps. Yeah. Jack Van Fleet asks, hey there, Ollie, the other one, Laurie, and Andy. Don't ask him. My question is how NXT can make a new signee seem appealing to fans whose first exposure is to that wrestler going through NXT. A good example would be someone like Keith Lee, who my friend has never seen wrestle outside of NXT, and with a combo of the bad music and presentation, could be less interested in him right now. Thank you for your time. Keep up the consistent work.
Yeah, I mean, largely, NXT do a very good job of presenting their stars, like people they've brought in who they perceive as big guys. Matt Riddle has looked fantastic, you know, beating Cassius Ohno in seconds with cool entrance music and flippy flops that he kicks off.
Yep.
Same with, like, Balor and Joe and Nakamura. Well, maybe not Joe because he had the bad entrance music. Remember the old porno tune?
Yeah, it was rubbish.
Bobby Roode. Like, a lot of these guys debuted very well. Kevin Owens is first night. After the series of video packages. And
Star
then,
was made within an hour show.
So they do it very well. Unfortunately, they don't do it right all the time. And I'm maybe they're not using Keith Lee to the extent we would like.
Yeah, I mean, me and Laurie talked about this on the NXT review that went up on Thursday, and we were argued that, like, NXT's got the opportunity to be able to present big-time matches on, like, NXT shows. Like, you don't have to wait for takeovers. You could just make an episode of NXT TV feel like a pay-per-view thing and, like, have build up a match between Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak that pays off on an NXT episode and just give them half hour, 45 minutes of the show and just present it as this big-time match. And that'll get people, in theory, would get people into that. But lastly, before we get out of here, just because you're on the Matt Riddle thing, from Dalton Sizemore, I honestly hope that Matt Riddle blows me away with his wrestling because I find the character of Riddle extremely annoying. Now, Laurie and I answered this already in the NXT episode, so I just thought I'd get your two cents on it.
I think, yeah, like, not everyone's going to like him. And if you look at Matt Riddle and look at this, you know, I don't see him as smug, but I can totally see how you look at that face and he's there like, cool, bro, I'm going to beat everyone. I'm going to be Cassius Ohno in like 5 seconds. I can see how
has not walked into the room if you listen to the podcast. Yeah, that was Ollie Davis.
I can see how you'd find him annoying. I don't. I think the guy's spectacular. But if you are dispositioned against the sort of Californian
dude bros,
yeah, of course you're gonna find him annoying, and you will probably never get on with him.
No,
but you know, some people didn't like Stone Cold, some people didn't like The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Idiots didn't, but yeah. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I absolutely adore your podcast and find them so great to listen to while I do jobs and other bits and bobs. You may be forgetting reading out my previous email about my uncle finding me half naked on a trampoline, but I was making tea when I clicked on the podcast you read and I suddenly heard my name being read out. A smile broke out of my face and a tear rolled down my cheek as I looked up to see my brother staring at me as if I was a grown man wearing a tightly fit Wonder Woman outfit. It was definitely one of the greatest moments ever and I thank you for that. Here are two poems. Feel free to only read one out. I just want to send you two. I am only going to read one out for this bit, Gavin. But thank you so much for sending both. We'll save the other one for another show.
I like how we're keeping the naked, found by my granddad naked on a trampoline
uncle.
Thing. We're just keeping that context free.
Oh, yeah. If you remember that from the archives, then well done. But if not, don't go back and find it.
Go back to, I believe it was Wrestle Ramble podcast episode. We got such a good log of what happens in each podcast.
I've been on a kick of Buxton podcasts at the moment. He's very good at numbering his podcast and announcing the numbers and announcing when they were recorded and things like that to give you so much context. So you then can sort of go back into the archives and find episodes. And I thought, God, we don't do that whatsoever. Like, I could not tell you when we originally read out that email.
No. I couldn't tell you what we did in this show that just happened.
So here is an email called One WrestleMania Night. A beast and a dog fighting for all. German suplex to Superman punch. One will stand tall. A fight no one wanted soon became a need. Soon we'll see it 50 more times. Please, not again, I plead. Blood everywhere. A waterfall of two men's sweat. Double down. Who will win? Roman will get up and win, I bet. But no. Instead, a familiar song plays. Jaws drop to as each other react in different ways. One man runs for the opportunity has arose. Forgotten he was. I stood there froze. A metal case in hand. In the ref's hand now. Pass to the announcer. I panic. Oh, wow. A triple threat now. All men stand. A few reversals, a spear, and then a curb stop lands. 3 seconds pass. We have a new face of the company. He celebrates on the ramp. Heist of the century.
I remember that.
Yep.
Carmella's cashing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, on Charlotte Flair. Yeah.
Historic.
It's funny as well because in a more serious note, obviously, it was referring to WrestleMania 31 where Rollins cashed in. I just thought, oh, it's this year's WrestleMania because it was the exact same main event of Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a poem about this year's WrestleMania.
So did I. And I was like, man, where's this going? Because, you know, that's kind of mean-spirited to say 50 more times from this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
With Roman now being out with leukemia.
Poor old. So we don't actually have any more Rusev Hayes to get through. No more thank yous. No more get betters. So maybe we'll do a quick agony art request.
They're my favourites.
Your favourites?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. This obviously comes from Anonymous Vacant, if you will. Greetings, Luke/Ollie/Fakador. There is virtually no chance anyone will ever hear this, but I'd still like to remain vacant since I'm divulging personal info about others without their knowledge, and I'd feel better if it were to remain anonymous.
Sure thing, Gary.
I'll just call them Mr. X and Mrs. Y. And no, it's not Homer and Marge Simpson. My close friend, Mr. X, has been dating Mrs. Y for about 15 months now, and 4 months ago, the two of them bought a place together. Not rented, but actually bought, so it's obviously serious. Last week, the two of them went on holiday together, and Mr. X proposed to Mrs. Y, who said yes. Now, I'm happy for Mr. X and wants nothing but good things for him, but the general consensus between me and the rest of our friends is that it's way too soon. He's just turned 27, but Mrs. Y is 21, and even though she's perfectly lovely, she's a little immature with regards to relationships. Also, Mr. X's older sister just got married earlier this summer, which no doubt influenced his decision. And another friend who spoke to Mr. X just before he went on holiday suggested to me that Mrs. Y may have twisted his arm into proposing. I'm sure he probably felt a lot of pressure while he was booking the holiday. My question to you guys is, should I be worried about Mr. X and Mrs. Y? I'm happy to let them enjoy their moment for now, but if he asks me my opinion when he gets back, I may have to be honest with him. I don't know if I want to him to call off this engagement, but I also don't want to see him go too far down a path he can't turn back from. I honestly don't know what I'm supposed to want. I know I want whatever's best for both of them, but I'm not sure what that is. As both a husband and a person who, if Ollie doesn't mind me saying, doesn't seem to get that pressured into getting married, any advice either of you would be greatly appreciated.
Interesting. So this is almost an agony arts for someone else.
Well, no, it's really an agony arts for the person who sent the email.
Yeah, like, for him, I guess.
Yeah.
So an engagement is like a money in the bank contract. It's pretty much guaranteed. But that doesn't mean it's going to result in a marriage. Still a long way to go. Like, they might not get married right away. So it's not as pressing.
No, there is lots of,
as you might think.
There's lots of money to be spent on weddings. Even if you try and do it as cheaply as possible, there's still lots and lots of money to be spent. And if your friends in question are 27 and 21, that would suggest to me they do not have a lot of disposable income to their name.
And realistically, it's at least a year away.
if not more.
Yeah.
Like, I would say almost like 3-4 years away.
So if, and they, I mean, they've been going out for 18 months. That's a long
15
time.
15 months.
15 months, that's still a long time. I think it's probably fine. And you're not going to, I get that you're concerned for your bro, but also it sounds, I don't get what the problem is. I mean, plenty of my friends have, that like gone with, like have very long relationships with people who I like, but I was like, well, they're, you know, there's nothing in, like, I don't believe they're the long-term thing, but then they're absolutely fine.
Mm.
So, and you're on the outside here as well. You don't know everything about their relationship. They might be a lot better than you perceive.
Yes.
And do be aware of your own sort of just fear of losing a friend as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that this all seems to be an okay situation. Your friend sounds like he's fairly level-headed, even if he has been sort of strong-armed into this. He has done it, which would suggest to me that he does want to do it in some form of or another. So I would say that I don't think this is going to happen for another 2, 3, maybe even 4 years down the line. It takes a long time to arrange a wedding, even if you've got a lot of money to spare. So I wouldn't worry just yet. And maybe it'll all be fine. Maybe it will all be fine. We've got...
Oh, but I think you should, if he does ask, I think you should give your, you've just said to us.
Honest opinion.
Honest opinion, but do it very, very sensitively.
Yeah.
Because don't, like, you don't want it to make it sound like, you know, just say like, oh, but do you not think it's too soon or anything? You know, like that sort of very sensitive diplomatic approach.
Yes. Right, well, let's get out of here. But first of all, obviously, a bad joke to get out of the way. And no, I'm not going to read that one because it's really poor taste. So that's all we're going to have time for on today's show. Thank you, Nate, for that email, but we're not reading it out on air. We'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review, and then back on Wednesday with the SmackDown review. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.